Folks, both teams off wins, sets it up for tomorrow night at legendary Pauley Pavilion. Our guest, the beat writer for the Bruin Report, producer of the What's Bruins show. He's a UCLA grad. You can follow on Twitter. Use the handle at Mike Regalado LA. Mike, great having you. How's life down there in Southern California?
It's good. Thank you for having me on. First off, we're preparing for this big old storm that's about to hit us, so that's fun.
That was something to look forward to. So yeah. Whenever we have a first-time guest, I love to get some background, tells a little story, like, you know, I'm from North Jersey, Willis Reed on the Knicks, Joe Namath on the Jets. Mm-hmm. So where do you hail from, and I guess who were the teams and players that made you so big on sports you were like, yeah, I want to do this for a career?
You know, I grew up in East L.A., and wherever you're at in Los Angeles, you're pretty much born into a Dodgers, Raiders, or Lakers household, and I was born into all three. But my dad basically shoved a basketball in my hand when I was born, and so, I fell in love with the Lakers, and knowing that Kareem went to UCLA as well as played on the Lakers, you know, during his heyday when I first started watching him, instantly fell in love with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. And to this day, he's my favorite athlete.
Nice. Hey, I remember Kareem when he was Lou and played the Knicks in the 70 East Finals, but I just dated the hell out of myself.
I can date myself, too. I remember when he was Roger Murdoch, airline pilot.
Better yet, well done. You know, this morning you tweeted about something. Bill Walton, who, you know, followed shortly after him at UCLA. Now, I love Big Red. The guy who went through all those painful surgeries just because he loved to play, loves life. I know he drives a lot of people absolutely nuts. That includes my wife. But so I want you to, whenever the game is on, and, you know, sometimes she'll be reading and not pay attention, and if she hears him, she's like, oh, my God, it's going to be one of those nights. But anyway, I need to hear your stance on Bill Walton.
I absolutely adore him. Obviously, another great Bruin. Lou and Bill Walton, number one and two in UCLA basketball history, as the greatest players. But Bill Walton has always embodied just, you know, someone who loves to live life, and that's I think that's absolutely fantastic. And unfortunately, you know, his career was cut short in playing professional. But what he's done, especially as a broadcaster, you know, on social media, his little spots on like Pac-12 and ESPN, wherever he goes, he just loves being there, and he finds different things to love about life. And that's truly why I love about him. As far as announcing, I love it. It gives a different twist to the regular play-by-play, because he'll just go off on tangents, and I'll be watching a game. And then I'm like, wait, what did he say?
Yep.
Oh, I'm like, okay, now I'm torn. My focus and attention is torn between two things, the game and this adventure that Bill Walton went on so many years ago.
Yeah, I, as a long-ago rock DJ, always admire when he drops a little Grateful Dead song reference in there.
Yeah.
Like, I got you, Big Red. I got you.
Uh-huh.
It's great. Talking UCLA with Mike Regalado, Bruin Report. So I've been reading some reports about the former Oregon and current Bruin head football coach, Chip Kelly, about maybe going to the NFL as a coordinator. I know he signed through 2027. One thing you know about Chip, he doesn't love recruiting. So is there any word out of Westwood? Is this a rumor, or does this thing have any teeth?
You know, this story has come up every offseason, but as we've been reporting at Bruin Report online, the last few weeks seem to have more gusto behind the rumors. And, yeah, sure enough, well, I believe it was yesterday, it came out that it was confirmed that he interviewed with the Raiders, and then there's speculation that he might be in the running for the offensive coordinator position with Washington, as his homie Dan Quinn just got the head coaching position there. So, you know, everything's up in the air, and you know, it's not looking good for the Bruins, who just today, it was also confirmed about an hour ago, I believe, that running backs coach Deshaun Foster is taking the same position with the Las Vegas Raiders.
Whoa.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if you heard about that, but yeah, that's a huge loss for the Bruins, who have had a fantastic running game. I mean, the running game is UCLA football's bread and butter since Chip Kelly has taken over.
Sure.
And the Raiders, which definitely need a lot of help. Yeah, I think that's a huge pickup for them.
Wow. As far as to kind of wrap with Walton and the Conference of Champions, you being a native who bleeds blue and gold, you know, we're coming to the end of the Pac-12. And even though I'm from Jersey, I've been a lifelong fan. I'm pissed. I blame leadership. So be it frustration, anger, acceptance. I'm curious, Mike, what's your personal feel about, you know, the demise of this, what I think, top to bottom historically, has been the greatest college conference ever?
It's, you know, it's the Conference of Champions for a reason, and now it's the conference of what's happening in the future. it'll be fun to go along with USC, Oregon, and Washington, but missing out on those Arizona road trips, missing out on the mountain road trips, even though Utah and Colorado were the latest members, you know, it's just those were like special games, you know, special road trips. I don't know how they're going to do it with the Bay Area schools, because those have been longstanding rivalries, and as well as, you know, the state schools, Oregon and Washington. You know, that's all broken up now. And it's like, you know, I told someone about this. It feels like the end of summer camp, where it's like, okay, well, it was nice hanging with you guys for a while. You know, KITT, you know, let's meet up again in the future. You know, it's very bizarre. And, you know, I've read a lot about people saying, you know, if this just doesn't work, you could totally see the Pac-12, 10, whatever it is, reforming in like 10 years, when, you know, maybe stuff is just the travel's too much. Maybe it's better to just play some of the more local schools, you know, whatever it is. That's all in the future if that does happen. But currently, it's sad. You know, this is the Pac 8, 10, 12, and it's been, you know, it has such a, you know, storied history. It's kind of sad just to see it end as it has.
No, I'm with you. Anger, sadness, the whole thing. All right, we got to get to some hoops, talking with Mike Regalado, Bruin Report. So you look at the recent history of UCLA. They've gone to the national final, two straight Sweet 16s. But obviously when last year ended with Jaquez and Bailey to the NBA, Tiger Campbell overseas, that's a big loss. You know, they got Sebastian Mack, a strong freshman. They were picked third in the media here in the Pac-12. But, Mike, I'm more interested, what did you think was a realistic expectation for this team heading into this season?
I mean, you can't argue that last year's team was Mick Cronin's greatest team since he's been at UCLA, and probably the greatest team since I would say that Kevin Love team with Darren Collison and Russell Westbrook.
Yeah,
that was an epic team, and so this was the closest thing. Last year, they had their struggles on offense because Mick Cronin's more of a defensive player. But once it got going on both sides, you turn defense into offense. It was just beauty. You know, it was poetic to watch that team go, and then to see everyone leave, and even in the middle of last year, you know, we were questioning, you know, what's going to happen? Who's going to stay? We knew there were going to be a handful of players, but didn't imagine that there would be that many. And then Mick Cronin goes and recruits internationally, and it's like, okay, you know, a lot of teams are doing that, but he kind of had to really load up with international players. along with the three freshmen that he had incoming. And when all that started to form in the summer, it's like, okay, they got these talented European guys, but how is it going to work? And as we saw at the beginning of the season, it wasn't working so smoothly. You know, a lot of bumps in the road, a lot of, you know, teaching these young players, and especially players who not only they don't speak the language, but they also don't play American ball. You know, Mick Cronin has had, you know, quite a handful, not only trying to teach these guys his style of basketball, but teaching them American basketball. Like little things like I read that, I guess in Europe, you know, Ade Mara, the 7'2" center, had to learn to not touch the ball on the rim. Because here, it's goaltending. Over there, it's fine.
Right.
It's just stuff like that. And it's like those little tweaks that you have to, like, remove from them so that they can assimilate into this culture. So it's been really bizarre going from that Hawkeyes-led team to, like, the Adem Bona-led team. And especially because there were only four returning players. A lot of question marks, and yeah, those questions that were answered, you know, early, especially in the non-conference. But it's been getting better. It's been getting better.
You know, I've seen flashes of brilliance from Mac. You know, we know his dad, Sam, was in the league, played with Hakeem Olajuwon, and he had great games, I think, against Marquette, Arizona. Then it's like his shooting touch goes AWOL a little bit. How would you, I guess, evaluate his freshman season and how his game is coming along?
You know, definitely a freshman, and he has to pick up on these little nuances, and he has to play a little bit more defense. And a lot of people question, like, okay, he's not really playing defense, so why is Mick Cronin keeping him in there? Well, for one, he seems like, aside from Adem Bona, who you need, you know, under the rim, he's the only guard, the only wing who is aggressive, who will go into the paint and try to attack. And sure, it's kind of like a bull in a china shop at times,
yeah.
But he's improving on that. You know, he's learning to look up to see where he's going, but UCLA definitely needed that aggressiveness, and that, I think, is what's really helping him to speed up his development.
Couple final thoughts for Mike Regalado. I want to get to Dylan Andrews, who came off the Pine every game as a freshman last year into both tournaments, obviously expected to upgrade and shoulder a larger burden as a starter. He was terrific in the win at SC last Saturday. Well, what about the progress you've seen from him year two in this system?
You know, it's been really good. Obviously, he's had to, you know, he had Tiger Campbell to assist him last year. And then this year, he had to hit the ground running. And it just wasn't, you know, when your point guard isn't, you know, 100%, when he's not confident, you know, the offense is going to sputter a little bit. And that's what we've seen. But in the last, you know, 2 weeks especially, obviously there's still a lot of games to be played. He's shown that confidence. He's shown that he's able to make better decisions. He's able to make that extra pass to, you know, guide the team, you know, when they need him. And last night, I don't know if you saw the Oregon State game, but just some brilliance. Just, I mean, he looked like a seasoned veteran, and that's definitely what they need on a team full of very young guys. So his development is it's coming at just the right time.
And lastly, I always like to get the view from outside our Eugene bubble. Ducks off a win across town last night, but man, they fell across the finish line. In prepping for tomorrow's game or what you've seen all season, what's been the word on the kind of Oregon team that'll visit Pauley tomorrow night?
You know, I've just because I'm immersed in UCLA everything. I mean,
right.
I even cover the UCLA women's basketball team. I haven't gotten to see a lot of Oregon, but I like the fact that they're pretty scrappy, and they just fight until the end. And I was a little disappointed in how that Arizona game ended, but not surprised. You know, Arizona is a really tough team, but you know, Oregon. You know, second in the Pac-12, you know, they've been really putting in the effort. And that's what kind of scares me about tomorrow's game. You know, their leadership, that I think is going to be able to carry them. But are they – what team is UCLA going to put against them? Because obviously in the last game, Oregon you know, they had total control of that game. For this game, UCLA is on the up and up, but Oregon still has a lot more experience. So, you know, what's gonna shine, this sudden surge for UCLA, or this experienced Duck team? So that's going to be a really fun game to watch.
Yeah, and it's definitely a case of which team shows up for each program. Folks, he's Mike Regalata, generous enough with his time to jump on, share his UCLA Hoops insight and this big matchup with the Ducks. He keeps you wired in for Bruins Report. His Twitter handle, at Mike Regalato LA. Hey, Mike. Great having you. Appreciate the time, and definitely look forward to talking more down the road.
Definitely. Thank you for having me on, and you have a good weekend.
All right, take it easy.